we got just what you need.
Expressed on the following broadcasts do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT, Take 12 Radio, or our affiliates. The opinions on this show should not be considered as medical, psychological, or professional advice and are those of the host, co-host, and guest. Take 12 Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
Welcome to Entitled to Overcome, Exploring Solutions for Life Today, a presentation of Take 12 Recovery Radio. And now, here are your co-hosts, Dave Fleming and the Monty Man.
Bump, biddy bump, biddy bump, bump, bump. Sing it, Dave. Sing it.
Overcome.
Dave Fleming
my,
is...
My headphones sound a little off, so...
Are they off, or is it your head?
It's my probably head.
Dave Fleming is in the house, in studio. Roger McDermott from Southern California is on the phone with us. Welcome to Take 12 Recovery Radio's Entitled to Overcome Solutions for Life Today.
Today. I was just looking at the lyrics to the song. I don't know. This just gets me every single time.
You love this song, yeah.
I listen to this song, you know, especially like the first few lines, right? It says, "Don't cry victim to me. Everything we are and used to be is buried and gone. Now it's my turn to speak. It's my turn to expose and release what's been killing me.
We are not defined by our past."
Exactly.
Roger, how you doing there, Mr. Huntington Beach dude?
I'm doing quite well here in Huntington Beach this morning. I love this time of the year. It's cool. It's not hot and humid, so.
Yeah, yeah. Yay! All right, enough of that.
Isn't it like that always in California?
Well, I don't usually get that kind of applause for a statement like that. Do that again, Monty. That was great. No, thank you.
Okay. Well, yeah, there it is.
I feel like I'm somebody.
The topic for this show is making a gratitude list. And the reason there's gobble to gobble, gobble, gobble at the beginning, at the opening of the show, is I wanted to ask the listeners a question. I'll ask you guys, too. Am I the only one that eats turkey at Christmas time as well as Thanksgiving? Or are there other people out there that do that? We do it at both.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, you too? Yeah, you enjoy that? Yeah.
Every day.
What, Roger, what about you?
So I think it's traditional, but there's also, you know, like honey-baked ham. So there's usually ham and turkey at whatever holiday it might be. But Thanksgiving is traditionally turkey.
Sure.
And Christmas, I think we usually get a honey-baked ham and possibly a turkey. But I think we have ham at Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people have lamb.
Lamb. You know, I tried lamb once. I did not enjoy it. It was kind of strong.
It takes a little bit.
Yeah. I'm not a venison guy either.
You have to cook lamb appropriately or it is strong.
Right.
Correct. Yep.
Right. Well, for our icebreaker, we're going to talk a little bit about turkey. Bring it on, icebreaker. It's time.
It's time for Dave and Monty's Icebreaker.
That's right.
Roger, it's your turn to clean it up.
I'm just full of sound effects today.
You are. Something. I'm impressed.
Roger's turn to clean up the mess. Okay. So just, I mean, cause I think it's a holiday thing all year. I mean, all during November, December. But since 1981, Butterball Turkey Talk Line experts have been helping folks with their cooking questions. So here's three interesting ones. When a talk line staffer asked the caller what state her turkey was in, meaning how thawed was it, the caller responded with Florida.
Mm. Sounds about right.
Right? Florida. Yeah, there you go. Number two. Oh,
that sounds reasonable.
One man called to tell the operator that he cut his turkey in half with a chainsaw and wanted to know if the oil from the chainsaw would adversely affect the turkey. Really?
Are you kidding me?
No, these are actually true calls to the Turkey Talk hotline for Butterball. And here's my favorite one, number three. Wow. A disappointed woman called wondering why her turkey had no breast meat. After a conversation with the talk line operator, it became apparent that the woman's turkey was laying on the table upside down.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I did all this just so I could play with my sound effects.
I guess so.
Dave, you're going to have to clean up this mess. I can't do it from California.
Oh, man. I just think that was awesome. Yeah. There you go.
Wow. See, did you got those so that you can do that during the day when you're not doing anything else?
Yeah, right.
When pat yourself on the back, give yourself a applause.
That's right. A little self-affirmation there. Just pull up the old Riverside FM sound
routine,
effects.
And, boom.
Yeah, you can. What's really cool about Riverside FM, you can create your own and add them to it. And, you know, like this one.
But that's just stupid.
That's Cecil there. Yeah. Or this one.
I'm calling your sponsor.
Do you have a Grinch voice?
Not yet. We'll get one in there. I've got this one.
We spend too much time trying to make sense out of nonsense.
That would be apropos for today's climate, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that should be posted.
Yeah. Or this. Yeah, there you go. What can
nice.
I say? Misbehaving. All right. Well, a very Merry Christmas coming up, right here down the street. Down the street. Right around the corner down the road.
Stay tuned.
Oh, my goodness sakes. And I just want to point out to everybody that we are so grateful for everybody. This is our 18th year of broadcasting that have made Take 12 Recovery Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting possible. From all of our co-hosts to all the people that have partnered with us financially in prayer. If you want to see a list of the people that have been directly involved in Take 12 Recovery Radio, visit our website at take12radio.com. And at the very top, it says partners, and you can click on that. It has a long list of people that have been contributors over the years. And I just want to thank every single one of you guys. I really want to give a shout out to the Facebook groups that have permitted us to post our links in their groups, because a lot of groups, they won't let you. Right? They don't want any videos. They don't want any recorded stuff. They don't want any links to websites. And a lot of these groups have not approved other people to do that. And they have paved a way for Take 12 Radio to do that. So we're really grateful for every one of the Facebook groups that has let us do that.
So what's the date that you started?
It was June 2nd. 18 years ago on June 2nd,
2004.
I get other anniversaries mixed up in my head.
Yep.
As I get older, I have to, make sure that the very first one that I have to make sure that I do not forget is my wife's birthday, January 6th, 1960. I gotta remember that,
Yeah, otherwise you're fired. Well, I can't ever forget my wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
There'd be no way.
Right, right.
I don't have any excuse.
And I also want to mention, and so all of you, for those of you, I like Christmas music. I'm sorry, I just do. I sing it throughout the year. You know, a tune gets in my head, and I'm just going with it. There's a lot of people that don't like this time of year. My oldest son is one of them. We have this discussion every year. You know, I said, look at what time of year do you get to listen to great music? You get to see pretty lights everywhere. All the prices are cut in half. What more do you want? You know, well, the commercialization, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, I get that, but everything's commercialized anyway. But we partnered, Take 12 Radio has partnered with, and this is news to you, Dave and Roger, with Hope 107.9 to bring you 24/7 Christmas music. So Hope 107.9 has been gracious to give us the go-ahead to post their player on our website. So if you go to take12radio.com, no matter where in the world you are, at the very top of the page, you'll see a little Santa hat hanging on a microphone. And it'll say 24-hour Christmas music. Just click on it, and a player will come up, and there you go. You play it in the background while you're cooking your turkey or your ham or wrapping your presents or whatever. So partnering with Hope 107.9 is an honor. We get to see them every time there's a recovery event here in Linn County. They're usually there, too, like Recovery in the Park, right? Scott and Sam and the rest of the gang over there. So if you want some 24/7 Christmas music and you don't want to have to hunt for it through Alexa or Google, or and you just want to be safe, there's nothing safer than Take 12 Recovery Radio. So take12radio.com, click on the little Santa hat, awesome. And there you go. All right. Are you ready? You ready to take this little break? We're going to take a little break and come back and talk about making a gratitude list. Yes, indeedy. Don't go away. Hey, everybody. It's the Monty Man. I am so grateful for our good friend, Dr. Alan Berger, author of 12 Stupid Things That Mess Up Recovery, for really showing me the path to emotional sobriety. You know, the ability to be comfortable in your own skin regardless of other people's behavior or the things that are going on around you. Well, Dr. Berger has a brand new book that really digs even deeper into this topic of emotional sobriety. The book, 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety. Listen, we all need some really powerful tools in our arsenal against getting stuck in our recovery. And this is one you do not want to be without. 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety can be purchased at abphd.com. Also available on Amazon.
And now, back to Solutions for Life today with those crazy guys from Take 12 Recovery Radio.
Flap your wings up and down, shake your feathers all around. Flap your wings up and down, now shake your feathers all around. Do the turkey dance, gobble, gobble, gobble. Do the turkey dance, gobble, gobble, gobble. Flap your wings up and down, shake your feathers all around. And do the turkey dance, gobble, gobble, gobble. Do the turkey dance.
We should have our listeners and viewers send in their turkey dance videos.
Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it? That'd be awesome. So if you guys can do a little turkey dance for us and put on an MP4 or something like that, send it to take12radio@comcast.net. That, I think any time of year is appropriate,
right?
To watch somebody do the turkey dance. So I'll read the first one. You want to read the second one?
Sure.
Okay. all right. I'm making a gratitude list. I was talking to a sponsee of mine the other day, and I said, "Did you get your gratitude list done?" And so when I have somebody I'm working with do a gratitude list, depending on who they are and what they're going through, it may be a lengthy one, it may be a short one, you know, whatever. This one was 10. I said, I want you to write 10 things you're grateful for. and they cannot be associated with each other. So you can't say, I'm grateful for my dad, and then later on say, I'm grateful for good parenting, right? Too closely associated. I'm grateful for my salvation, and then later say, I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit. Too closely associated. They have to be more independent of each other, and which can make it a little challenging, especially if you're doing a gratitude list of like 30 things, right? So I asked him, I said, so did you get your gratitude list done? And he goes, well, you know, I'm really grateful for all sorts of things. And he started listing stuff off, you know, blue skies, water, shelter, but, you know, so, and I go, no. I want you to dig a little deeper here. But don't think that what you might think is silly is really silly. Don't think that. He goes, well, give me an example. I said, okay. I had a sponsee one time tell me when he made his gratitude list that he was grateful for peanut butter. And I said, tell me why you're grateful for peanut butter. He goes, I hate peanut butter. I said, that's interesting. So why are you grateful for it? He goes, because for a number of years when I was homeless, it was the only thing that I had to eat. It sustained me. And I am very grateful for peanut butter. Can't eat it now, but I'm still grateful. And I thought, wow, that's great. That is really a cool thing. Whereas somebody else may think, oh, that's silly. That's not what he wants to eat. Well, yeah, it is. That's the kind of stuff, you know. And then, you know, we pass on the things that we've experienced to the people we work with and the people we know that are struggling. And, you know, what my sponsor had me do is make a gratitude list and keep it in my pocket. And I kept one in my pocket for a long time. And when I would start to grumble, he'd say, pull out your list, you know, and it would stop me in my tracks. It really would, because it would remind me of the things that either I've forgotten to be grateful for or that I was grateful for,
right?
You know. This reading, Dave sent me two. He's going to read one. I'm going to read one. Before I do that, though, Roger, did you make a gratitude list, or do you, or how's that go for you?
So, in the beginning of my recovery, that was one of the exercises that I was, it suggested that I do.
Yeah.
It has become so entwined and enmeshed in my psyche that I'm moment by moment, I'm grateful. So I don't write one out every day because I'm living every moment grateful. My attitude is gratitude. But I have my sponsees do that, and I just got one this morning that I thought I would share.
Oh, yeah. You just got a new sponsee this morning?
No. I've had him for a while, but I make him send me a gratitude list every morning.
Oh, and he sent – oh, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah.
So since no one knows him, and then I'll call up and tell him we just broadcasted you across the world that, you know.
Yeah.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, here it's 10. So number one, I'm grateful for God. Two, grateful because I now realize prayer shows me comfort. Three, grateful for open doors. Open doors is a Rick Warren daily devotional.
Mm-hmm.
Four, grateful for friendship. Five, grateful I am able to help with my grandchildren and take them to school. Six, grateful I have choices today when it comes to making money. Seven, grateful for my little place here. 8, grateful for my health. 9, grateful for the old timers in AA. 10, grateful for God's son, whom I've always had in my heart.
Wow, that's a great list.
Yeah. It wasn't like that when he started. It's interesting how you watch gratitude list mature into this sort of deep things, like you were saying.
Yeah.
You know, dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then you watch him morph into this. Wow, that's really cool list.
So would you like to share his first and last name? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, sure.
No. Perhaps listen to the show and get a kick out of it. No, that's a great list. That's a great list. Well, this is, both of these readings are from the NA basic text. This one is on page 80. It's entitled The Gratitude List. And quote, we focus on anything that isn't going our way and ignore all the beauty in our lives. And then it reads this. It is easy to be grateful when everything runs smoothly. If we get a raise at work, we're grateful. If we get married, we're grateful. If someone surprises us with a nice present or an unasked favor, we're grateful. But if we get fired, divorced, or disappointed, gratitude flies out the window. We find ourselves becoming obsessed with the things that are wrong, even though everything else may be wonderful. This is where we can use a gratitude list. We sit down with a pen and paper and list the people for whom we are grateful. We all have people who've supported us through life's upheavals. We list the spiritual assets we have attained, for we know we could never make it through our present circumstances without them. Last but not least, we list our recovery itself. Whatever we have that we are grateful for goes on the list. We're sure to find that we have literally hundreds of things in our lives that inspire our gratitude. Even those of us who are suffering from an illness or who have lost all material wealth will find blessings of a spiritual nature for which we can be thankful. An awakening of the spirit is the most valuable gift an addict can receive. Just for today, I will write a list of things, both material and spiritual, for which I'm grateful. This reading reminded me of when I got MRSA as a result of my second hip surgery, and I was on oxygen for months. I was on a PICC line that had to be flushed several times a day of this antibiotic that almost killed you to knock out the MRSA, right? And then I had to go for infusions 3 times a week. I mean, it was a pain in the neck, but I was so grateful because it forced me to spend quantity time with God. You know what I mean? I mean, he had my attention and I realized how fortunate I was to be able to take a break from the rest of the world and get closer to God like that. But it didn't go without a lot of grumbling and complaining in the beginning, let me tell you, you know. But I realized how grateful and how fortunate I was to have a wife, because she had to participate in this, you know. Right. And it was very difficult and very taxing on her as well. So when it talked about, you know, when we're ill and that kind of thing, we can still find things to be grateful for. I think even though we may not feel like it, much of the time, I think if we really push back the veneer of feelings, we can always find things to be grateful for and thankful for. And I think it is so beneficial, because sometimes it might be the only list of anything positive we have,
right?
You know, that's going on in our lives.
And if we're living a life of recovery, you know, day to day basis, it tends to come. We tend to recognize it's faster.
I think you're right.
Rather than if I'm just not using.
Yeah, if I'm just abstinent, that's all I'm doing. That's tough. That's a tough life, man.
I try to encourage everybody that I work with to do a step 10 at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like it,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, you look at, what do I need to work on? What have I done right? Do I know any amends? What am I grateful for? Those kind of things.
Yeah.
And then, or even like in a journal form, mm-hmm. so you can go back and look at like how things have been going in my life. So I can kind of see what's going on, what I need to work on.
Yeah.
Rather than just, oh, I gotta go to work, and then I gotta, you know, do this, and I gotta do that. Instead of, you know,
I get to. Yeah, I think too, in that, you know, when we retire at night, when we wake up in the morning, thing, we also ask God to show us, right? Because sometimes we don't know,
right?
We don't see it, but get ready, because he will.
Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, yeah, right. Indeed, Roger. When you retire at night, when you wake up in the morning, what do you do?
Oh, I mean, when I lay my head down at night, I review the day and I thank God for another great day. I said, like I said, my process during the course of the day is sort of spend every moment in gratitude.
Yeah.
Regardless of circumstances, you know, my identity is not my circumstance today. And that's changed over the years for sure. And when I wake up in the morning, it's the first thing I say is, good morning, Lord. You know, it's another great day. Thank you for this day. And guide and direct me, you know, what do you want me to do today? And then I'm staying in conscious contact with him throughout the day.
Yeah. 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 Amen. So my wife and I are looking at something that's a bit stressful and challenging right now that I'm not at liberty to go into, but it, you know, we all have things in our lives that sometimes pop up out of nowhere and they seek to just beat you down, right? And it was interesting because at the memorial service of one of the former Teen Challenge students that I attended the other day, they had a basket, you know, these elastic wristbands that a lot of people wear, right? That have like scripture on them, stuff like that. So these wristbands, there was all sorts of different ones. And I just picked one up. I didn't even look at it. I just grabbed it, right? And one of the things that Roger is, I mean, if I were to be doing a memorial service for Roger McDermott, one of the things that I would mention is one of his favorite scripture verses. And I looked down at the wristband after I put it on, and it said, by golly, pray about everything, worry about nothing. And from Philippians, and I went, I just love, the Lord is so good. The Lord is so good, you know, and he talks to us. And that's one of the things I am so grateful for is these little ways that God will speak to me.
Right.
You know, I was stressing over something the other day and the way that I had been acting and, oh, I kind of beating myself up. And I looked out the window and there was this rainbow that was just gorgeous. And I looked down on the ground and there was a little rock that somebody, these people do this. They'll paint on rocks and then put them in your yard. There was this little rock, and it just said, forgiven. I'm like, where in the heck did that thing come from? Hmm. You know, so stuff.
Mere coincidence, Monty. A total mistake.
Yeah. So those are the things some people say.
For the previous person.
Yeah, right. So I picked it up and I threw it through somebody's window. So that's what some people would say is God being anonymous, right? I think that stuff's cool.
Right.
Dave, let's hear what your reading says.
All righty. So this is August 31st, gratitude. Basic text, page 108. It says, hopeless living problems have become joyously changed. Our disease has been arrested, and now anything is possible.
Mm.
How fitting.
Yeah.
Right? Remember my scripture? If you can't believe, all things are possible.
Yeah, that's right.
The NA program has given us much of us, given, oh, I can't read.
Given
us more freedom than ever dreamed possible. Sometimes, though, in daily routine, we lose track of how much we've been given. How exactly have our lives changed in Narcotics Anonymous? The bottom line of recovery, of course, is freedom from the compulsion to use. No longer must we devote our resources to feeding our addiction. No longer must we endanger, humiliate, or abuse ourselves or others to get the next quote-unquote fix. Abstinence itself has brought great freedom to our lives. Narcotics Anonymous has given us much more than simple abstinence. We've been given a whole new life. We've taken our inventory and have identified the defects of character that bound us for so long, keeping us from living and enjoying life. We've surrendered those shortcomings, taken responsibility for them, and sought the direction and power we need to live differently. Our home group has given us the personal warmth and support that helps us continue living in recovery. And topping all this off, We have the love, care, and guidance of the God we've come to understand in NA. In the course of the day-to-day recovery, we sometimes forget how much our lives have changed in Narcotics Anonymous. Do we appreciate what our program has given us? Just for today, recovery has given me freedom. I will greet the day with hope, grateful that anything is possible.
Amen.
Today.
Yeah, so I love the part that says at the end of the second paragraph, abstinence itself has brought great freedom to our lives. Okay, so just that brings freedom. But then it goes on to say that we have much more than simple abstinence. That's even more amazing. Not only do I, you know, we say in NA all the time, you know, hey, guess what? You don't have to use anymore, right?
Right.
But it goes beyond that. Guess what? You get to grow and mature now. That's an awesome thing to be grateful for. Yeah, I mean, both really powerful readings coming out of the NA Just for Today. They're both Just for Today's books.
Yep.
As well. Some great stuff. If you want a copy of the book, and they sell them on Amazon, it's just called NA Just for Today. Dave, when was the last time you actually sat down, I had to ask myself this question, and wrote a gratitude list? Been a while?
Probably, I would say about a month ago, maybe.
About a month ago?
Yeah, I was working on something else and kind of came up, and so I just kind of sat and jotted down a few things.
Would you have ever, in your active addiction, would you ever have thought of doing that?
I would have thought about it, but I wouldn't have done it. I mean, that's, you know, yeah.
Right.
It would have been skewed with, you know,
yeah, but
using and people, places, and things that have to do with using. So my gratitude at the time wouldn't have been in the vein of what we're talking about.
What about? I'll ask you this, Roger. What about things that maybe we ought to be grateful for that would otherwise seem, and that's a big word, seem to be a negative?
So great question. I send out a text to probably 50 people a day, you know, and I'm expressing always in my text the gratitude that I have. So while I don't write a gratitude list every day, I actually am living a gratitude list every day, and I share that with other people. I'm a big proponent of, I am no longer and haven't been for years a victim of circumstance.
Mm.
Therefore, what's a negative thing? It's like, I ask this to people frequently, what's a bad day? Define it for me.
Yeah.
Define a bad moment. What, you know, because the context that you define your moment or your day kind of points to where you are spiritually.
Good point.
And I believe that nothing transpires or takes place in God's world by mistake or coincidence. Therefore, it's not poor me or why God or why am I in this? You know, my question is, I don't like this, God, but I am willing to learn what you want to teach me. Because I don't know if you guys are like me, but I don't learn anything very much until I walk through something. And when I get to the other side, I'm able to recognize what God wanted to teach me. So negative positive is a relative term what does that mean?
Yeah.
So if I'm upset with something because it took place, that means I don't like it. Okay, well, that's reasonable. But why don't you like it? Mm-hmm. And is there a message or is there an opportunity for God to teach me something?
Amen. That's exactly how I started out down my road and then continue that. And I always tell people now, when we have the conversation about the woulda, coulda, shouldas, you know,
mm-hmm.
I always tell everybody, like, I'm grateful that, you know, I experienced everything that I experienced, and I wouldn't go back and change anything, because if I hadn't gone through any of that,
right,
then I wouldn't be the person that I am today, and God wouldn't have worked in my life.
Therefore, that statement, we do not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it.
Right.
Right. I love what Dr. Alan Berger says in a lot of his literature when he talks about emotional sobriety. You know, he says it doesn't mean that what that person said, did, or believes doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean it isn't annoying. It doesn't mean that it's not aggravating. What it means is when you're emotionally sober, you don't permit that to knock you off your center of gravity. You just don't.
Yeah.
It's kind of ludicrous to tell somebody that's hurting, well, you shouldn't feel that way, because they do feel that way, you know. But it is healthy to learn how not to get knocked off your beam, you know.
And you got
to
practice it every day, because you deal with that. I mean, I just experienced some of that Friday at work.
Uh-huh.
And I just, you know, for a minute there, I caught myself getting really angry, and I just put on some music on my phone and put my headphones in and just kept, you know, doing my documentation. And as I'm working through all this, I'm about halfway through, and I'm like, I'm not going to let this situation, like, get to me. Like, this isn't that, you know, this isn't that important. I'm not going to let this person take up space in my head or, you know, get me off my square, right? Or off my beam. I'm just, you know, this is not, has nothing to do with me. This is about them. And so I'm just going to brush it off and continue on and be in a good mood and listen to some good music and end the day on a good note. And I did.
And you're right. It takes practice, though. You know, when we first walk in the doors, we're not real used to doing that. We've allowed other people's stuff to drive us to a point of self-destructive behavior for so long, right? And one of the things that I like to share with people I work with is, how do you learn how to deal with difficult people? By being in the middle of them. That's how you learn it.
Life.
Life and engaging. You know, it was interesting because a few weeks ago in a class that I teach, this class happened to be on, you know, learning how to tolerate other people's things and without knocking you down, right? And this one young man who he's on a scale of autism a bit, and so he's got some attention deficit issues and some hearing. He's not hearing things, and so he might, when he talks, it might appear like he's interrupting you. He really isn't, because he doesn't know he's interrupting you, because he's not, you know, he's not registering what you've said anyway.
Right.
And so he's sharing, and he takes a really long time to get to his point. And this other guy, I could see his face. He's in the back of the class, and he's just like, he is just boiling, right? And so finally he says, he goes, in Alcoholics Anonymous, and by this way, this was not an AA meeting or an AA setting at all. He says, in Alcoholics Anonymous, we're taught to keep it simple, stupid. So keep it simple, you stupid jerk. You know? And I didn't think of it at the time, and it probably would have not have been appropriate anyway, but I thought about it later, you know, and I thought, you know, If you know the platitudes so well in recovery, maybe you ought to know the literature too, which says we pause when agitated, right? and this guy was not pausing, that's for sure.
Right.
But I was thinking about that, and is it in the case in most things when you are, you know, knee deep in the recovery community and that kind of stuff, there's a lot of stuff that you become self-aware of. And I thought to myself, how many times have I reacted when agitated instead of pausing when agitated? And how grateful am I when I actually do pause and think, thank you, God, for keeping my mouth shut, particularly this right. time of year. I always say, if you're visiting the in-laws, learn to keep your mouth shut, particularly when you know you're right.
Because you don't need to prove
that.
You're right.
I love people tell me all the time, and I've heard it said many times. It's like, don't ever miss an opportunity to close your mouth.
Yeah.
My mouth, you know, before I got sober and even early on, my mouth preceded wisdom, preceded, you know, thought. And it was just, I just blare stuff out because I was spring-loaded in the pissed-off position.
Right. Just react first.
Spring-loaded in a pissed-off position. Would you say position?
Position.
Yes.
Spring-loaded in a pissed-off position. You bet. Just touch me and I'll fire at you.
When I was working over there at TC, I remember lots of people would say that I work with, like, how are you so patient? Like, where do you find the patience to deal with this situation or that person? Or, you know, it's coming from other students.
Right.
And the point you were just making, it just tells me that because I was being patient, keeping my mouth shut, and like letting them do what they're going to do. Usually they shoot themselves in the foot. That was me walking out that in my life, because, you know, I need to listen first and react second instead of the other way around.
Yeah.
Where I used to react first and then not listen even after that. Right? Just
yeah.
Do things my way, everything would be fine.
That's right. That's right. You know, one of the things that I am incredibly grateful for, and I share this every year, is for the things that God never gave me.
Right.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for not giving me some of the things that I asked for, because I knew little of what I was asking. One of the things that I've learned in working, you know, in a climate like a, for lack of a better term, a treatment setting, okay, or a men's discipleship program like Adult and Teen Challenge, that kind of thing. One of the things over the years that I'm really grateful that God has allowed me to learn is how to leave the frustrations of that there.
Right.
And not bring it through the front door or back door of my home. You know, that was something it took a while to do. But, man, what a great piece to have that when you pull up in your driveway, you're not carrying that stuff with you. You know what I mean? It takes about the 14 miles from the center to my house to shed it. But I can shed it now before I walk through the door. You know, and that's something I wasn't able to do for a very long time because, you know, don't you know, I can't wait to share how ticked off I am with the spouse, right? I got to get her on my side, man. And now I don't even have to bring it up, you know, so it's that's really good stuff. Dave, what is, as we start to wrap this up, what is one thing today as you sit in the studio that you are incredibly grateful for?
Is this a setup?
It's a setup. No, because I'm going to ask Roger the same thing.
Tell you the truth, I would have to say being able to come here and have this platform to share recovery stuff, you know? Share, you know, the continuation of sharing experience, strength, and hope with others and being able to reach a larger audience than just, you know, a couple people in a room or in a meeting or whatever.
Amen.
Because I think about it during the week. Like, I can't wait till Monday comes and, oh, wait, it's the fourth Monday. Oh, I guess I'm not going. I'm bummed out for the rest of the week. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's one of the things that it's at the top of my list. I look forward to that. And then probably at the top of the list would have to be my family being restored.
Yeah. Oh, amen. Absolutely. Roger, how about you?
I could go on forever, but what I'm grateful for this very moment, there's one thing that, you know, I'm a big acronym guy. Blessings is be present. L, let the day flow with grace. E, expect joy, be positive. S, serve with compassion. S, speak only kindness. I impart only love. N, never forget you're not alone. G, give thanks for everything. S, see goodness in others. You know, I have, over the years, have just constantly bombarded my psyche with scripture and with the principles of the program, which are virtually the same thing. So I'm programmed that way now.
Yeah.
And I'm bloody grateful all the time. But, you know, I look forward to this. Yesterday I had the opportunity to do the communion message at church. That was a blessing. The week before I was given the prayer and, you know, introducing the speaker. And I mean, my life is a joy. I got no valid complaints, and I'm just grateful.
Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to tell you guys, I am so grateful for both of you guys. Again, kind of bouncing off at the beginning of the show, all the people that have contributed to Take 12 Recovery Radio. I was told by a couple guys from the UK that I met in the first year of us doing this thing, it'll never work, it's not going to happen, you're not going to last the year. Both those guys are in prison now because of some sort of legal shenanigans they pulled, right? And we're in our 18th year.
Were they speaking that into their own life?
I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, and now we're in our 18th year, and so many people have been involved in doing this. You know, this isn't just a thing where you pull out your laptop and you take a $1.75 microphone and sit on the edge of your bed and do a podcast. I mean, this has been a labor of love contributed by so many folks. And you guys have been around for a long time. And I'm just forever grateful for it. It blows my mind. And, you know, bottom line, this is God's thing. And without him, we can do no good thing anyway. So I'm just so grateful that his hand is in this whole Take 12 Recovery Radio thing, and particularly my family putting up. I mean, the kids were younger when, and you know, they lived at home when we started this thing, and they were supportive. My wife has been supportive, and you know, a lot of times I'm editing and preparing, and goes into the wee hours of the night sometimes, and Marcia has never ever said, you know, don't you think you're spending too much time out there? Man, she's always been 100% supportive of this venture. And, man, that's just amazing when you have a life partner like that that is supportive of you. And so amazing stuff. And then I just got to say, my new grandbaby, Pierce, we got to see him yesterday. Oh, what a joy. What an absolute joy. You know, they have these cribs now that are Bluetooth that the top, you know, has like 15 different settings to where it moves in directions and waves and up and down.
Wow,
and
really?
Yeah, so you don't even have to get out of bed. The baby starts crying, you just push a button, rocks him to sleep. but it was just so much fun holding him and looking into his eyes. And when we first got there, he was having a little bit of a fit and crying. And they put him in Papa's arms. I'm Papa. Put me in my arms, and he looked up at me, and he stopped crying. And I was like, wow. I mean,
Monty, you know what your new initials are, right?
What's that?
PNK, Papa Gnome King.
Yeah, there you go. It was awesome. All right. So at the end of this closing song, I've got a little piece of trivial information about a thing that we call in Alcoholics Anonymous, Rule 62. And you're going to know why I share that at the end after you hear this song. So this is kind of a weird way to close out a show right before Christmas. But I thought, yeah, why should this week be unlike any other week, right? Let's do some weird stuff. So,
fitting with the rest of the world.
If you get offended by this song, maybe you should apply Rule 62. I had a blast putting this together. Do you remember, because you're kind of a music guy, Roger, do you remember Norman Greenbaum?
No, 100%.
Yeah. He was one of those one-hit wonders, you know,
yep.
Probably known more for his song Spirit in the Sky.
Right.
Well, he's from Sonoma County. That's my home county, you know, the Petaluma area. And I came across this song that just had me rolling. And so we're going to close out with this, but don't leave us when the song ends, because I'm sharing a little piece of Rule 62 trivia with you. So here is Norman Greenbaum. Thanks, you guys, for being here today, Dave and Roger, and Merry Christmas to you, man.
Merry Christmas to you, my friend, and Dave.
All right, here is Norman with his song entitled The Day They Started Selling Beer in Church. Here's Norman.
You know, we've got to sit down and wonder what our world's coming to. This world of ours that used to be so pure. People betting on the races, gambling in Las Vegas. Yeah, you could say that, gambling's in for sure. Got your whiskey halls, barroom brawls, lots of places you can sin. You know, they even got houses in Nevada where they only let men in. But the latest sin is the one that really, really hurts. It's the day they started selling beer in church. Oh, the day they sold beer in church. Everybody came to pray. Beer made it so much easier. Lord, what a way. Seen the signs that they got round town that say, come pray, quench your thirst. For it's the day they started selling beer in church. Old folks are screaming, they won't come no more. There's them that came but once a year, lined up at the door. Oh, the day they sold beer in church, everybody came to pray. Beer made it so much easier, Lord, what a way. Seeing the signs that they got round town that say, come pray, quench your thirst. For it's the day they started selling beer in church. Once a year, lined up at the door. Oh, the day they sold beer in church, everybody came to pray. Beer made it so much easier, Lord, what a way. Seen the signs that they got round town and say, come pray and quench your thirst. For it's the day they started selling beer in church. It's the day they started selling beer in church.
Mr. Norman Greenbaum, listen, if you're offended by that song, I want to challenge you to apply Rule 62. Now, I received an email here last week that wanted to know, where did Rule 62 come from? What is the history of that? And why do people say it all the time? Now, most of the time when you hear Rule 62, somebody follows it by, don't take yourself so blankety-blank seriously, right? Well, the actual story is described in Alcoholics Anonymous in the book, The 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, known as The 12 and 12. The basic story is that early in the history of AA, a group out in the hinterland somewhere convinced the local town to fund a recovery treatment AA facility. This was going to be an elaborate facility with space for medical treatment, residential recovery, and of course, AA meetings. The local group setting all this up started coming up with rules on how the place would be run, who could be admitted, well, and on and on. And naturally, there was much disagreement over all of it. To try to resolve these differences, they sent out a copy of their 61 rules to the New York office of AA. The volunteers at the office had no idea on how to run a large facility or what to say to this group about their rules. Well, while they were discussing it, another message from the group was delivered saying simply, hey, Rule 62, don't take yourself so seriously. Well, apparently, they had decided that the potential ego-driven rewards of running a big facility were not worth the risk of tearing apart their group. And I think from all of that, you know, what we really have is a main idea, a main takeaway, if you will, from Rule 62, to see your life as lighthearted, fun, and enjoyable. It's important to be able to laugh at yourself and to not take for granted the little things. It can be difficult to understand at first, but people eventually do get there. So if you're offended by Norman Greenbaum's song and the fact that I even played it on Take 12 Recovery Radio, Rule 62, baby. Now go make yourself that gratitude list. Until next time, from all of us here, Roger McDiarmid, Dave Fleming, the rest of the Take 12 Recovery Radio family, from our family to yours, keep in mind that it's because of God's great grace and love that you are entitled to overcome. I'm entitled to
overcome. This has been a broadcast of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.